it's from. I've heard a lot of people singing it on Veterans Day and different things. It's a great song. Hallelujah. Hey, this morning, if you would stand up. Hey, Crystal, before you leave today, would you come see me? I got something good for you. Amen. Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray together, and then I want to kind of tell you something before I share this today. Amen. Praise God. Pray with me. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I open my heart and I open my ears, and I expect you to speak to me and minister to me right where I am. My ears are open and my heart is ready for all that you have for me today, in Jesus' name. Well, Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you speak to us, that you minister to us right where we are with open ears and an open heart. Lord, we receive all that you have for us today. And we just give you praise and we give you thanks right now in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen. Turn to your neighbor, give them a high five, and you can be seated. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, say it out loud. Say, God created me to do amazing things. He did. He made you to do amazing things. And, you know, the last couple of months, I've had it on my heart about this word intentional. Intentional. And I really believe that what I'm about to share with you today is prophetic. And I say that, I don't say that word unless I really, really have an unction about it. But I really believe what I'm going to share with you today is prophetic for 2026. And I think you need to pay attention. You know, and you know, if I had a word from the Lord, you know, there are a few folks need to hear this word. You can't play games. You're not fooling anybody. Because the Holy Ghost knows. You're not getting away with it. So stop for a minute and take a deep breath and count what's important and what is not. Because it's vital that you do. And I believe that's a thus saith the Holy Ghost. I want you to hear this today. Because your 2026 needs to be filled with intention. Intentional living. Intentional living. You know, a friend of mine the other day, he sent me something, and I've been working on this message for a while. But when he sent this, I wanted to put it in my notes, so I did. And I want to read it to you. A few years ago, I boiled my life down to two things. Those two things are relationship and my choices. Of course, my heavenly relationship is number one. And the quality of that relationship, my heavenly relationship, that determines the quality of all others. Then to the degree I understand and follow Scripture and the leading of the Holy Ghost, so goes my choices. Boy, that's good. I'm going to read that last line. To the degree that I understand and follow Scripture and the leading of the Holy Ghost, so goes my choices in life. You know, the bed that we choose to sleep in matters. Oh, come on, somebody say amen. It does. It matters what you put in, what you put before you. It matters. Faithfulness matters. Honoring God matters. But you need to do it intentionally. This is not a game. This is not a free ride, like the song says. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 here. And I'm going to read from a couple different translations this morning. The New King James says, for we are His what? You are His workmanship. Amen. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. In the Amplified Bible, it reads, for we are God's own handiwork. His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand. All this stuff He planned beforehand for all of us to walk in, but we have to choose to do those things. He planned all these things beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time. And I love the last line here, that we should walk in them. And this in parentheses here is really a great way the Greek reads this. Living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. Love that line. Living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. Amen. Everybody say, God made me a good life. That's not good English though, is it? God made for me a good life, didn't He? He made a good life just for you. But you know what? You have to choose to intentionally walk that way. We choose a lot of other things first when we should intentionally be choosing Him first, choosing His Word first, choosing to honor Him first. Amen. You can't play games with God. You just can't. You just can't do it. The Voice translation reads like this. It says, "For we are the product of His hand." I love this. Heaven's poetry etched on lives, created in the anointed Jesus to accomplish the good works God arranged long ago. See, God's got a plan for you to walk in, but you have to intentionally choose to walk in that purpose. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But the verse I wanted to read to you, it's a paraphrase from a friend of mine, and it's very simple about Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. And it reads like this: God created you to do amazing things. Can you say that where we make it personal? Say, my God created me to do amazing things. He created me to do amazing things. He created you to do amazing things. Amen. Amen. Now curl your toes because Pastor loves you. Amen. The flesh, everybody say, oh my goodness. The flesh, your flesh, has only one true purpose. And it's not to live like a reprobate. It's not to park it somewhere and just quit and only do it when you need it. No, your flesh has only one true purpose, and that is to carry out heaven's assignment. Your flesh, its value is found solely in being a vessel fit for the master's use. That's why we must do our part in the natural to keep our bodies healthy and strong, ready to do God's work, because we're called to serve Him. You may not be in a ministry position where you're behind the pulpit or counseling with people, but every day we're called to live a life worthy of that calling to serve Him and honor Him. Can you say amen? We have a purpose and a destiny to fulfill. Amen. Which, you know, we need to be fit for the master's use. Which I want everybody to look at me here this morning. Look at what the screen's about to tell you. Casually walking with God is dangerous. You can't treat the things of God casually because they're real. You can't treat spiritual things with a casual attitude. Well, I don't have to do that. I can do it next time. No, everything you do leads to what's coming next in the millennium, in eternity. Everything you do has a purpose and a destiny. Casually walking with God is dangerous. We must be purposeful and sober to thwart the attacks that will come to our lives and our family. How many of you can raise a hand or two and say, well, you know, there's been times in our lives where things just didn't go exactly perfect. And I look back and I think, you know, I got off track there and I should have stayed focused more on this or that. Anybody say that? Sure. Because we all make mistakes. Amen. Everybody say amen or oh me. We all make mistakes. But you know what? Our involvement in our spirit, Our involvement in our spirit must far outweigh anything we give to our flesh. Our investment in our spirit man must far outweigh anything we give to our flesh. That's an even better way to say it. Jesus made this clear to every one of us. He said to those who want to follow me, they must deny their flesh and put its desires underfoot and daily crucify it. Even Paul, and I want you to hear this too, even Paul warned that if he, talking about himself, if he did not discipline his own body and resist its carnal appetites, he would become, and his words in the King James were, a castaway. Y'all heard that before? He made a point talking about himself. He said pretty much like this, and it's my paraphrase, but this is pretty much what he said. He said that if he didn't discipline his own body and resist its carnal appetites, he would become a castaway. Do you want to know what the word castaway actually means? It means someone who forfeited God's purpose for something else. That is what a castaway is. I've heard it preached a lot of different ways, but in the Greek, that's literally what it is. That's someone who forfeits what the Word says to do their thing above God. How many of you know in life sometimes when you quit worrying about things and realize that He's God, He takes care of it all, doesn't He? All the time. He takes care of it all. So it's an investment that we make in our spirit man that should far outweigh anything we give to our own flesh. Amen. You know, when we neglect the responsibility and allow fleshly desires to dominate us, we disrupt the plan of God that He's planned and planted within your spirit and my spirit. You know, the people whose breakthrough is connected to our purpose may lose out because we didn't obey God. God's got a purpose for you. We live this life. We walk worthy of this life because God wants to use you to be a blessing. Amen. He wants to use you to be a blessing. Hey, I believe this next year God wants to use more and more people to be a blessing, but it has to be with intentional, with an intentional purpose that we seek after Him, that we follow after Him in His Word, and that we put Him first in our lives as never before. Amen. You know, somebody's breakthrough might be connected to the purpose that God has called me to, that He's called you to. They may miss it entirely if we're not going to do our job. I've seen the Lord do things when I didn't obey God. I watched Him do it through somebody else, and I had to repent later. Lord, You told me to do that, and I didn't do it, and I should have done it. There's been times the Lord spoke to my heart about doing something special for somebody, and I held off, and I held off, and I held off, and when I finally obeyed God and did it, oh, they had tears in their eyes. Oh, I've been believing for weeks. I had this happen 4 weeks ago, and that was when He spoke to me. Every one of us have a purpose and a destiny that God's called us to, and we need to obey Him, but we can't do it if we're going to be spiritual couch potatoes. We need to be obedient to Him. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. The conditions of living intentionally. Living intentionally for God. Amen. See, God intended to give to somebody else through your obedience and my obedience. This is why Jesus came to reconcile us back to the Father, restoring us to fellowship, restoring us to identity in Him, restoring us to sonship, because you are a son and daughter of God. Can you say amen? Amen? You are a son and daughter of God. He died so that you could be restored to the family, so that you can have a seat at the table. Amen. Amen. And the table's been spread with all sorts of His goodness, all sorts of His blessing. But our focus is so vital and important because He wants your fellowship with Him, that intimacy and your new identity and your sonship to be a, a reckoning force in this world here and now. Not in the sweet by and by, but here and now. You know, every temptation that targets your flesh. And I know, you know, Saturday morning, I got up. I'd already finished my message, but I got up and I think I made an omelet. And I went and sat down and I vegetated in front of the television for about 2 hours. And you know, there was things I needed to do, but I didn't do. Because I just sat there for a minute. A lot of times I have a thought in my head and I'm not really watching, but yet I'm watching. Me and Tony Cook and I talked about this. And I'll tell you what I was watching. I was watching McHale's Navy. And I was laughing at Tim Conway and Captain Binghamton, where he always looks at the camera. I could just scream. And I laugh about that. But see, there's times that our flesh just wants to quit, not do anything. And we open ourselves up for strategic attacks from the kingdom of darkness. Because, you know, the devil's goal is to get you not to do the word. He don't care that you're saved. He doesn't care that you're filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues. But he does not want you to obey the word. He does not want you to enforce your authority over him. Oh, no. He wants you to live nervous, to live in fear, to live hanging on the every word that somebody else is going to say instead of the word. Every temptation that targets your flesh is a strategic attack from the kingdom of darkness. Its goal is to distract you. Boy, you ought to write this down. That attack is to distract you, to slow you down. And you ready? And to ultimately kill the vision that God has placed in your spirit. His goal is to distract you from the prize, to slow you down from doing the things you are called to do, and to ultimately kill the vision that he placed in your spirit. See, that vision can only be discovered through a deep fellowship with the Holy Ghost. You know, the more time I spend praying in the Spirit, this is what my thought was yesterday morning, the more time I spend praying in the Holy Ghost, you know, the more I spend being one-on-one with the Spirit of God, that's what carries me to complete the blueprint for my life. And that's what should carry you to complete the blueprint for your life. Amen. If we silence the Holy Ghost in our lives, if we allow ourselves, if you would, for our spirit man to be seared where we're not hearing like we should, where there's everything else is more important than the Word, than praying in the Holy Ghost, to worshiping God. When we allow those things to come third and fourth and fifth down the list, then we are allowing other things to pollute our spirit and keep us from the destiny God's called us to walk in. Amen. That vision can only be discovered through deep, intimate fellowship with the Holy Ghost. He's the one who carries the complete blueprint for your life. And if you silence him, the enemy will gladly offer a counterfeit vision or something that tickles your fancy and draws your eyes off the path. One that may look successful outwardly, but carries no spiritual weight whatsoever and earns no eternal reward. You know, I had a friend once, and we haven't talked in a long time, but his whole thing in life was to be rich, to get rich quick. And you know, the book of Proverbs, if you read it, it tells you in a couple different places, there are no quick, get rich quick schemes. They don't exist. Amen. Boy, it paid to read the book of Proverbs, right? But he always had a new plan. You know, he came up to me once. He says, you know, hey, if you'll pay me $50, I can get your name in on this and this and this, and they will end up paying you this and this and this as you sign up other people into this and this and this. Anybody ever heard those things before? Yeah, and they don't work. One person gets blessed and you are working your tail off for their benefit. But the Bible talks about kingdom investment. That pays rich dividends. The Bible talks about being consistent and stable. Consistent and stable. My friend was never stable. He was up one minute and down the next. Here one minute, there another minute. Always looking for something that would make him a happy person. And to this day, he's still spinning the same wheel, still spinning the same talk, but just a different team that he signed up on. Might be $100 now. You give me $100, I can do this and this for you. Listen, it don't work that way in life. The greatest investment you will ever make is living intentionally for the things of God. The greatest investment you'll ever make is living intentionally for the things of God. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the enemy will gladly offer you a counterfeit vision. It may look successful outwardly, but it carries no spiritual weight and can earn no spiritual reward or eternal reward for that matter. You know, when we stand before God, He will not reward us for what was done in the power of our flesh, but only what was accomplished through the leading and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Everything begins, and you ought to write this down, everything in your life begins with you surrendering to the Lord. How many of you remember when you got born again? Come on. Do you remember that day? I remember that night at Green Meadow Church of God in Alcoa, Tennessee. I remember the little Haitian preacher who was shorter than I am. Praise God, he would have needed two milk crates to stand up here. But I remember all of us on the back row, and I remember running up to the front to give my heart to Jesus. And I remember them playing that night at that Church of God, "Just As I Am." He loved that song. And there's something about it when you take the time to surrender all that you are to the King. Amen. Surrender to Him. God wants you to renew your mind. He wants you to be rooted and grounded in the truth of His Word. And I want to tell you this morning, church, there's no room for laziness in this new year. There will be no room for laziness. Our walk requires us to walk intentionally, to walk in supernatural strength, to walk with spiritual force, because the kingdom is taken by those who pursue it fervently. Fervently. Amen. On fire, fervently. You know, casual Christianity will never get you there. I've had people tell me things while, you know, talking about Jesus returning scares me. Well, you haven't read your Bible if it scares you, because there's nothing but good news. I've heard people say, "I don't like all that prophecy stuff. It scares me." Well, you'll never know what it's all about till you start digging deeper. If you live by your flesh, you'll die by your flesh. If you live by your spirit, you'll step up to a whole other realm of life. Remember what the scripture says in Ephesians, living the good life. Living intentionally puts you in place of walking in the good path that drips with the goodness of God. Living intentionally sets you apart from everybody else. I love that first song we sang today. That's so important, amen? So important. He picked you up. He turned you around. He placed your feet on solid ground. I took people on the mission field. They're not even serving God like they used to. Not even loving Jesus like they used to. But all sorts of things happened to them when they were on the mission field. We sweated and cried tears of joy. Things happened in these jungle places. When we were in the Philippines, things happened. But today, they've allowed their flesh to take control of their heart. They allowed their pain to control their destiny. God has a plan. He has a purpose for you. And what we let choke that out will be what we'll settle for instead of running towards that prize. Come on. Amen. Amen. Casual Christianity never gets you there. Souls are on the line. We're supposed to shine for God. And we are supposed to be counted faithful. Faithful. That's a big word. A lot of people get mad because their boss won't promote them. Have you been faithful? Huh? A lot of people get mad because, you know, well, God ain't done this for me and he ain't done that for me. Have you been faithful? Have you been faithful? Bible says he's quick to reward the faithful. He says your gift will make room for you if you be faithful. Amen. Absolute truth. So this morning, very quickly, how can I live intentionally? I wanted to give you the conditions for it. And these should kind of, you know, you heard the old phrase, there's a burr in my saddle. You ever had a rock in your shoe? A bad rock. You know, we have a cat. Sometimes she will drop a little bit of litter off her paw. And if you're going to the bathroom late at night and you're barefoot, I find that little piece of litter. And I have to find it and throw it away. Because it bothers me, especially when it gets in my house shoe. That's a blessing. Hallelujah. But you know, when it comes to the things of God, you need to be intentional about how you're living. Can you say amen? Amen. So how do I live intentionally? Amen. Well, number one, you need to recognize that you personally have an assignment. You personally have an assignment. And I hear people say foolish things like, well, I don't know what it is. The word before your face, if you're not reading it, this will tell you everything you need to know about your assignment. And if you follow after it, you'll realize, like Romans 8:28 says, I am called according to his purpose. His purpose is that I tell people about Jesus, that I live a spiritual life. He gave me the power to walk in his love that's been shed abroad in whose heart? My heart. But I have to choose to do that. I have to intentionally decide to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. See, intentional living begins with an awareness of who he is in you, knowing that your life is not by accident. Your life is not by accident. Every believer under the sound of my voice this morning in this sanctuary has a divine purpose. And within that purpose, there are specific assignments for people to reach, for tasks to do, for things for us to complete, and areas for us to be good stewards of. We all have a task set before us. Assignments over time may shift. My assignment has never changed, but yet positions have shifted through the years. But deep down inside, the hunger and thirst for God has never changed. My assignment has never changed, but my positions as I've walked this path have changed. But because I'm faithful to the origin and to the original purpose when he saved me, then my steps have been ordered by who? Him. Are you catching this? 2026 needs to be a time where your steps are ordered by the Master once and for all. Amen. You're called according to his purpose. Ephesians 2:10 again. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Amen. He prepared beforehand for you to walk in these things. Assignments may shift over time, folks, but they always align with God's eternal plan. Can you say amen? Number two, you need to live with direction and not distraction. You need to live with direction and not distraction. You know, there's certain types of sports I enjoy watching. I love watching baseball, especially, you know, when it gets towards the end of the season. And you know which team's got hot bats, which team's really playing, which team is tight, not a lot of errors. and they're working hard. There are certain ball games I like. I enjoyed watching Tennessee beat the Gators. That was fun. Amen. That excited me, made me happy. Took the chomp right out of the bite. Really strong, too. Amen. But you know, a lot of people will allow things to distract them from church, to distract them from God. They allow their hurts to distract them. They allow their offenses to distract them. They allow, you ready? I love you. They allow their weaknesses to distract them. And God didn't make you that way. He made you an overcomer. He made you victorious. Come on. He made you to fight to the finish, to not quit, to not give up, to not lose faith. He gave you the victory that overcomes the world. Ooh, glory to God. I got the victory that overcomes the world. But so much of the time, we don't live by His direction, but we live by our distractions. And we let those distractions keep us from the very source that gives us the power to be sustained and blessed in life. Amen. We cannot live that way. Amen. I've had people come into our lives and they try to distract my kids from following their plan and purpose that God put in their heart. I did not appreciate that. Because, you know, my sons, they have a plan on their heart. They want to follow that. But then when somebody else comes in and tries to be their father and mother and it's not their place, that's wrong and devilish. Amen? Because that's my job. That's the job that God called me to. And their particular gifting or bent is one that I help shape as the man of the house, not an outside person. Are you listening to me? Because you know what? God has a destiny for them to fulfill, not your dream, but their dream. Amen. I had some people in the past who've gotten into other young people's lives and started speaking things to them. They were on a certain course. Now they're not even in church anymore because of the things they spoke to them. Not even serving God anymore because of the things they spoke to them. Not even obeying their parents anymore because of the things that somebody else spoke to them years ago in East Tennessee. That's not your business. You are supposed to live intentionally and be an example to your family. Somebody say amen. 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 Say, Pastor, come on. No, I'm telling you the truth. You have to live with direction and not distraction. You know, living intentionally, you got to remember Nehemiah. Take his example for a minute. You know, we have to walk in step with our purpose instead of being pulled by comparisons or busyness. Intentional living calls for your focus. Amen. I love the story of Nehemiah because it's such a great example. When he was invited to come down from building the wall, he said these words in Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 3, I'm doing a great work, I cannot come down. He was focused on his mission. He was not distracted. He was going to finish the work that God had called him to. You know, living intentionally for your assignment means guarding your time, your mind, and your energy to do that which you can finish for the work of God that He gave you. Because God gave each one of you a specific task. We need to be doers of it. Amen. And then number three, you should steward the assignment faithfully. Amen. You should steward the assignment faithfully. I've told these stories before, but, you know, listen to them again one more time. You know, when I first got to Bible college, I had listened to Brother Copeland's tapes on the Ministry of Excellence, and I'd listened to them over and over and over to where I had to buy a brand new set because I wore them out. That's back when there's cassette tapes. Amen. Do y'all remember the cassette tape days? I wore them out to where the little cloth head thing fell out of the thing. I got them knotted in my cassette player in my Toyota truck, and I had to pull them out. And remember, you had to get a pencil and just run them back into the tape. I wore them out, though, till the tape broke, and I had to buy another one. And there was lots of things in there about being faithful, being a good steward. And, you know, God doesn't call us to be perfect, but He does call us to be faithful. When I got to Norval Hayes' Bible School, I had an opportunity to go, at the time to go to Rhema or go to Norval's. And this young man, and I don't know what happened to him, but Dan told me, he said, James, he said, you need to go to Norval's. You learn about flowing in the Holy Ghost. You'll just learn it there. And then after that, if you want to, go to Rhema. And then you'll learn about stability. And I always took that to heart. And I remember going to Norval's, and the first thing they offered was to let students work around the school. And my job that I took was to help clean the church. And I cleaned the toilets just as hard as I could. I got on my hands and knees with the toothbrush and cleaned around the caulk. I got in there. It seems like a farmer thing that we do. We cleaned up. I took end dust and I put it on a towel, and I would polish the pews by hitting that cloth and sliding down that pew. I remember one of the Bible seminars for Brother Norval. This lady sat on the pew and she slipped right off because it was so slick. She's, oh, glory. You know, faithfulness matters. How many of you have had somebody stab you in the back before? Come on. You see, faithfulness in your friendships matter. Faithfulness matters. I want to tell you something where faithfulness really matters is your relationship with God. You have to be faithful intentionally. You have to choose to be faithful intentionally. He didn't call you to be perfect, but He called you to be faithful. I was reading, you know, in Bible school, I ended up after cleaning the church and the toilets, and got into cleaning Brother Norval's office. I ended up getting asked to answer his personal mail, and that's what opened one door after another, but it was because I was faithful. Ministry of excellence is faithful. You stick to it. You're consistent. You don't waver. Were there moments where you had a Maalox moment? Yeah, I had several Pepto-Bismol Maalox moments. Things didn't work out exactly the way I had planned, and things were, I was tired. I was uneasy. I was like, I need to be encouraged. But I forgot about the Bible part where it said David encouraged himself in the Lord. I had a responsibility. But God always seemed to open doors and move things around to the right assignment to put me right where I needed to be, so to speak. But I had to be a good steward of the assignment by being faithful to the Lord. Let me put it to you like this before we do our last point. God doesn't call us to be perfect. He calls us to be faithful. But intentional living means tending to your assignment like a gardener. Intentional living means that you tend to your assignment like a gardener, that you're nurturing what He has placed in your hands instead of chasing what looks easier or more glamorous. Can I say that again? That's good preaching. Intentional living means that you tend to your assignment like a gardener, nurturing what He's placed in your hands instead of chasing what looks easier or more glamorous. There's a lot of things in life that look easier and more glamorous, but you know it's when you pay the price that things really begin to move in your heart and in your life. Amen. Jesus told us, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with what? Much. Amen. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Amen. I don't care if you work a secular job or or if you got your own business, everything you do it as unto the Lord. I've heard people complain about their bosses and complain about maybe some assistant that's an assistant to the boss, and you know they're telling everybody what to do, and they get mad and all this. You know, everything you do, you should do it as unto the Lord. Because He's called you to be a good steward where you're at and be faithful. Amen. Hallelujah. You got to ask yourself this question today. How can I give my best in the assignment where I am at right now? How can I give my best? Which brings me to the last thing about living intentionally. Sometimes giving our best, sometimes that looks like preparation and prayer. We're still talking about being a steward of your time, steward of your assignment faithfully. Sometimes that looks like preparation. Sometimes that looks like prayer. Sometimes that looks like just being still and quiet, or as the Bible talks about, resting in the Lord. Or even letting go of a distraction that is dulling your excellence. How many of you know of things in your life right now you could just pull out and, you know, I really not need to let that dull my excellence anymore. This is dulling me spiritually. Y'all been there before? Had something in your life? You need to whoop that out. I need to weed that. I know this afternoon my goal today is to go out in the yard with the gas weed blower, and I am going to move leaves. I'm going to move them as hard as I can, as fast as I can. And there's a lot of them. Last year there was 14 bags. So much fun. That's what I'm going to do. If you want to come help, I bought extra rakes. Amen. You don't have to buy all those fancy things to put them in your bag either. You just got to get a cardboard box and get it cut flat, and it just goes in and you do it just right. But you know, you got to be faithful to do things. Everybody say faithful. Have you been faithful to the Lord to be a doer of spiritual things, or things of the flesh, or are those things before all that? There's certain things in life that tickle our fancy, but I tell you, being faithful to the Lord and the Holy Ghost and the Word, that should be tickling that fancy first. Can you say amen? Which brings me to my last point. And I really believe this is prophetic about this new year. Number four, you need to stay connected to the source. Connected to the source. You need to stay connected to the source. You know, intentional living is not self-driven. Intentional living is not self-driven, but it is Spirit-led. Intentional living is not self-driven, it is Spirit-led. How many times have we spent gobs of money trying to do something and it's not working like it should? Trying to make something happen. How much better would it be, instead of being dulled spiritually because of all of that effort, if you would just devote your effort and time to being a good steward of your spiritual walk, of your spiritual time? See, we have to stay connected to the source. My good friend Philip Trent, he wanted to redo the whole youth group. And we had a pulpit that Bruce had built out of tractor parts. It was really fun. It had a tractor transmission on the bottom. It had all sorts of springs off of an old truck. It had a diamond plate for the top of the pulpit. I love that pulpit. But when Philip said he had a unction to redo all the youth group, I had an unction to bless him with that pulpit. And we told him after we saw him this last time, said, if you ever make a change again, we want that back. But, you know, it's the centerpiece of his youth program. And his youth program is called The Source. The Source. And, you know, it's such a powerful word when you stop and think about it, because God is the source of everything. Everything that matters. Everything. Everybody say, He's my source. Well, you know, if He's your source, then You're not self-driven, but you're spirit-led. Assignments can only be fulfilled through dependence on God, on Him being your source. Amen. John 15 and verse 5, Jesus told us all, apart from me, you can do nothing. And then Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, Paul says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. If you're consumed with everything else and you're allowing things to dull you spiritually instead of keeping your eyes on the prize, you're going to know it. You'll feel distance. You'll feel removed. When the only way for everything to be fulfilled in life is to be dependent upon the source, to be spirit-led. Amen. That's why this morning, church family, we need to make prayer. We need to make worship. We need to make study of the Word a non-negotiable thing. We need to let our assignment flow through our intimacy and not our activity. Can I say that again? That's so good. We need to let our assignment that God has given us to flow through our intimacy and not just our being busy. I was talking to Tim Sally before church. They have a lot going on, going here and there, seeing grandkids, because they want to be a part of their lives. And I think that's so awesome and so sweet. But we were talking about we're very busy. There's so much been going on. And, sometimes we can be busy for good things, but then there's other times we can be busy just spinning our wheels over things that don't do anything to build us up. And we need to realize that everything flows through our intimacy, not just being our busyness. I'm not talking about good things. There's good things to be busy about. Melissa's been totally wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Operation Christmas Child. And there's been a lot going on with that. We need your help today to get all those boxes to Bartlett Baptist. Can you please help us with that? It's one thing to just be busy, but are you doing anything effective for you, for the assignment God called you to? Amen. Because it's important. Our assignment flows through our intimacy. Let me say this. Your fulfillment in life, everybody say my fulfillment. How many of you want to feel fulfilled? I want to feel fulfilled with my life. Well, my fulfillment flows through my intimacy with the Most High because He's my source. Even in grief or loss, He is my source of fulfillment. Even in the midst of, maybe I have a need that needs to be taken care of, who's my source? My God's my source. Even when there's a moment, where maybe you had something in your house break down. Has anybody ever had that happen? Our washer, bless its heart, I could hear our washer spinning in our bedroom. And so many of you have been to our house. I could hear our washer in our bedroom with the door closed, spinning. Whistling. We thought it was going to take off. Literally. Melissa was concerned that it might break and the drum fly up through the whole washer. It really did sound that bad. And I finally said something. I said, oh, you want a new washer and dryer? Yes. And to beat it all, bless their hearts, they wanted to deliver on a Sunday morning. I never had any company in my life deliver on a Sunday morning. But I called them, I said, I know you're going to do this. I don't want to change it. And they told me if I changed it, it was going to take another 4 weeks to get it to us. And we wanted it now. Because that washer is about to take off and die. And they said, where are they going to be out that early? She goes, well, they're going to Macon. I said, can they come to Oakland first at 7:30? They were there right at 7:30. And they installed that thing quickly, both the washer and the dryer. And that's a blessing. But, you know, sometimes things break and you need something to work out right for you. And, you know, we can't let things in life drag us down. But we have to realize that it's our intimacy with our source that keeps us stable, that keeps us happy, that keeps us focused, that keeps us on course, that keeps us doing our job, that keeps us serving Him, that keeps us praising Him. It's our intimacy with Him that keeps us shouting unto Him, giving Him glory and praise. It's our intimacy with Him, our source, that helps us when the storms come, because we've been doing what needed to be done all along, that it doesn't shake us. It doesn't cause us to waver, but it causes us to stand solid and firm, because the source is always true and always faithful. We're the ones that need to be faithful. Amen? We need to be faithful. Amen. You are never too old and never too late. According to Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, if you have a pulse, God's got a plan and a purpose. Stand up on your feet. Amen. It's good that we live life and live it intentionally. Can you say amen? Amen. David Hunt, you can shout hallelujah. I did 3 pages of notes. Amen. That usually takes me 4 services. Amen. 4 services to do that. I hope you learned something today. This has been burning in my heart, and then Chuck comes back from Billy Brim's prayer thing, and they talked. Lynn Hammond talked about living intentionally. It seems like the thing. I'm telling you, there are things about to hit the nation and the world. You better be living intentionally. Make sure your focus is on your source. The greatest days of your existence are just before you. Be focused on living intentionally for Him. Can you say amen? Amen? Amen. Bow your heads with me real quick. Father, we just thank You for this message today. Thank You, Lord. It challenges us. It tweaks us. That it causes us to remove things that are causing issues and get back to the power source. Plug into the power source. Hallelujah. Oh, that we hook up with You, that we're following Your plan, Your purpose, Your pursuits. Lord, that we allow our intimacy with You to be our focal point of everything we do. Lord, as we started this morning, how important it is that our intimacy with You helps us determine the choices that we make or the choices we don't make when we're not intimate with You. Lord, those choices are so important to follow Scriptures, to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. Relationship and choices. Relationship with You. Choices that we make because of our relationship with You. Lord, I just thank You right now that each one of us determined in our heart to make good decisions, good plans. As we come into Thanksgiving this week, we thank You for all that You're doing. We thank You for the great things You're doing in our lives, but we look forward to what's just ahead. And we do so by determining that we're going to live intentionally. In Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're watching online today or you're here today and you've not made Jesus the Lord of your life or you're not living for Him like you should, make that decision right now. We'll pray with you. In fact, we'll pray right now. If you're watching online, if you're here, pray with us. Say it with me. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before You and I believe that You sent Your only Son, Jesus, to live and die for me and to be raised from the dead. Jesus, come into my life. Make me brand new. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. For the rest of my days, I will live for You and I will honor You for all my eternities with You. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer,